So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
We're talking about stimulus checks and all kinds of money questions. You got one? 312-981-7200. Fire away. Tom Fortino of the Alpha Wealth Group. He's here to answer them. How you doing, Tom? How's your Monday going?
So far, so good. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good overall, I would say. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, this is sort of good news. Over the weekend, we got the $2 trillion American Rescue Plan. I guess Saturday morning, the House passed it, moving on to the Senate. That would be $1,400 for folks who qualify. Let's remind people who's getting them. And my understanding is more people will get them this time. There's a little, some new rules here. What can you tell us, Tom?
Well, if you file as an individual and you make $75,000 or less, you're going to get $1,400. That phases out up to 100. If you, as a couple, or you file joint, it's 150,000 or under, you get 1,400. But in addition to that, for every dependent, that's another 1,400. So, you know, a family of four would get $5,600. And so it really pays to have a lot of dependents this time around.
This time around it does. Because that's a little different, isn't it? Because last time the adult dependents, did they qualify? I thought they did not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're talking probably another 26 million. I've heard numbers up to 26 million more people will be getting these checks this time around. So massive amounts of money will be hitting accounts.
Yeah. So college students, disabled adults, elderly Americans.
Mm-hmm.
More people, yeah, I'm looking at that, 26 million more people will be getting checks than did the last time. So I suppose that's good news. What do we know about how people are spending it? I know that there is a story out there, one story about from CNBC talking about how it did really relieve folks in poverty, that those folks put those to good rent and food and that sort of thing. What would you say overall about what you've noticed about how people are spending them?
Well, there is, you know, we've seen, other than the last 2 months previous to this month, we've seen spending increase. Again, just there was just a two months there that it's kind of faltered a little bit. So we've seen consumer discretionary has continued. The spending has been increasing. But saving rates have gone up, too. I mean, just this last month, it was 10%, 10.3%, I think. So, you know, there's some savings going on. Quite a bit, you know, on that end too, and there's some spending going on. So a lot of different things that are happening with money. But the biggest thing I think now is they're just talking about it's going to have quite a big impact, you know, in the economy as we move forward as far as spending.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it is going to be interesting because that $2 trillion is a meaningful number for sure. You can look at the positives of it. It has boosted the economy with all that consumer spending you're talking about, getting a bounce there. And it certainly helped folks at the lower end of the spectrum who really needed that help. I know the concern in Congress and elsewhere all along has been there are a lot of folks who are getting them. And we've had people call into the show and say, I really didn't deserve one. I really didn't need one, but I like getting it. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. That it sort of kind of blanketed a lot of folks who maybe were not as needy as you might have thought the bill was intended for.
There's no question. I mean, I know of some, as you said, you've had callers call in and say, listeners call in and say they didn't need it. You know, this is the, what we like to call the proverbial helicopter money. And so, there was a study that was done. It was recently, I don't know if you heard of Stephen Moore, he's an economist. It was in the Wall Street Journal. He said, based on all of this, these payments, that a family of four over a year would get the equivalent of $135,000 of income based on all the credits, the children's credits, the money they'll receive, which, you know, there'll be an additional $400 of benefits, unemployment benefits, on top of whatever you're receiving through the state. So, you know, his estimates and some others have said really longer term, this is going to impact the economy because it's going to affect millions of people going back to work. And so this can, you know, there's two sides to this. And I think that can be fairly destructive.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's go to the phones here. John, you're on WGN. Go ahead. You got something to say here?
Yeah, good afternoon. Yes, I was kind of at the topic you just talked about, retired state employees. And I happen to be from Illinois, but I have friends in other states. And in other occupations besides teachers, there are policemen and so on, that we're getting this money that we're not really feeling that we really needed it given to us from the, because we, our checks still come every month, deposit into our account for retirement. We didn't lose any money during the COVID. And of course, we'll take it, we'll spend it. I have things I'm going to buy with it, but it seems to be like the government could give more money to the more needy than the ones that are on a guaranteed state pension plans.
Yeah, it's interesting how that seemed as if there are lots of folks like you who feel as if you didn't really need it, and that's happening. John, how are you going to spend yours?
I'm going to buy appliances and have a daughter getting married, so those expenses will go in a hurry.
Oh, well, that's nice. Congrats to your daughter. That's awesome. Is she getting married locally?
Yeah. Or? Unfortunately, no. She would have been, but it's going to be in Colorado now.
All right. Well, good luck to her. Congratulations. And I know you got that check. Thanks for being honest and just saying I really didn't need it. I think there's a lot of folks. Thank you, John. I think a lot of folks fall into that category that Tom just described. John, I just wonder, is it just too difficult for the government to figure this out? Because we didn't figure out unemployment very well and getting that to the right folks. So maybe this is kind of in that same vein where they just wanted to blanket more people to make sure that the folks who truly needed it got it.
Yeah, that seems to be the case there. I mean, certainly, you know, this whole spending bill, you know, it should be a little more targeted for sure. Additionally, so much of this money, you know, we're going into this recovery. We're seeing things happening. You know, Johnson & Johnson just came out. We're seeing these rates go down dramatically. We're seeing a good recovery in this economy. So it's not really... the timing of it really, I don't think, is going to be as helpful. It's just, you know, at some point, this massive debt, you just cannot keep piling up debt. You know, we're close to $5 trillion or so, we're approaching $30 trillion of debt, you know, a federal debt, and we're adding to that every year. So this can be very problematic. I don't know when that time's going to come. Nobody does. And there's also these concerns of inflation. These are all, you know, negatives for the market. But I think in spite of all that, the market's going to continue to go up for this year.
Okay, Tom, stand by for a second because I want to ask you about that. The volatility has been crazy. When last we spoke, it was sinking, and I was sort of like losing my breath. Like, what is it really down that much? Now today it's up. I know you always say you can't keep track of the daily gyrations of the stock market, but there's something funky going on, and I'd like to see if you can try to describe it for us. It's 216. Okay. Back with Tom Fortino. He'll take your questions also here on WGN. 312-981-7200. If you've got a question about personal finances, or you have a thought you want to share, please weigh in. 312-981-7200. More with Tom in a moment. Hang on a second. Let me hit refresh right here on my page. And yep. Dow's up 668 points right now, Tom. When last we spoke, all the major indexes were taking dives. It's been a volatile time. And I know that these uncertain times, I don't know, are there things you want to tell us other than don't look at it every day? Because I don't listen to that advice.
Don't look at it every day is a good start. But, you know, perspective is another thing. By taking a look at it, for example, you know, year to date, all of them were up. All of the indexes, I should say, were up. You know, the S&P is up 4%. Year over year, the S&P is up 32%. So we have a week where it's down 3%. I get it, 3 or 4%. But it goes back to all these studies that have been done. Behavioral finance shows that, you know, the turn, like twice the emotions when we have a loss versus a gain, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can't help but react emotionally. But we can see that this market has bounced back. That's a good thing. It overreacts on the upside many times. It overreacts on the downside. But longer term, especially this year, we just had this conversation, you know, with today we hear about, well, it was this weekend about Johnson & Johnson. There's, I believe, going to be a rush into the market. All of this money that's going to come into the market, we're talking about GDP, different estimates anywhere from the economy growing from 5, 6, 7%. So, you know, I would say for now, there's going to be weeks, there's going to be days, but longer term, especially for 2021, the probability of it being an up year, I think, is pretty high.
You mentioned Johnson & Johnson, and even the mayor today, say Mayor Lightfoot, said today or even as early as today, by tomorrow, they could start seeing those vaccines here. A lot of attention on healthcare, a lot of attention on health. Do you like the healthcare sector still, or you feel like that's totally overvalued?
Well, I wouldn't say it's overvalued. I would say there's other sectors, though. We've talked about this, I think, before, and the energy sector. Some would also say industrials, materials, those areas, because there's going to be a lot of spending that's going to occur on the infrastructure side. And, of course, technology, right? Mm-hmm. That's not going away. So those are four sectors, certainly, that you could have some exposure to. Energy year-to-date is up over 30%. And I think there's still room to run. So of the 11 sectors that we talk about in the S&P, those are four that I think will do well.
Mistakes people make in these uncertain times. I'll raise my hand and tell you mine right out of the gates. When I had put something in a credit card, I rolled it into a new credit card because it had a really low rate to try to bring you over there. And during the pandemic, I wasn't paying as much attention to all that stuff. And so I let it expire and I just got hit with the big whopper of the big fee because it expired. The introductory term expired.
Sure.
Credit card fees are a big deal for a lot of folks, and they're paying big interest rates on them, and it just seems like a money-sucking way to try to, like, live your life. Any advice for credit card debt?
Well, the first thing I would say is in anything when it comes to your finances, you know, like you made the comment, look, I kind of forgot about it. I put it maybe on the back burner. I was doing other things. We get busy with life. Financial organization, I say this all the time, is one of the biggest obstacles to your success, whether it's knowing where your accounts are, knowing your values, knowing what your credit card balances are. That's where I would say, you know, at some point, sit down, get everything organized, keep some, you know, there's a lot of software programs that allow you to keep everything on one site and track everything, because most of us don't know where everything is at. We just don't. That's very common. And I get it. We're busy with life. But things like your credit card debt, the best thing, like any of these things, is certainly, like you did, try to find the lowest rate possible, first of all. Secondly, it's just, you know, perseverance. It's I'm going to make a commitment to this, and I'm going to make a payment. I'm going to do these things to get that off the balance sheet. I mean, it's pretty simple, I guess. That's the approach you have to take.
You just got to do the research, and you really got to pay attention to it, because like those little percentages, they matter. They matter. I mean, I'm proof of that, and I know a lot of folks have a lot of credit card debt that makes them feel as if they're sort of stuck, you know, and it's a horrible feeling. So you got to kind of put your mind to it and just deal with it, see how you can dig out of it. Hey, a couple of texts here. 847, if someone doesn't need the stimulus, donate it to charity. A lot of charities do need it. I think that's a great idea.
That's
773, yeah. The economy needs it, not necessarily the individual person or family. All contributions to the economy help. Just that caller there. Tom was buying appliances and things for his daughter who's getting married. Those purchases support jobs and so on and so on. You agree with that? The sort of stimulus. That's what it's called, right?
Well, it is stimulus, but we have to keep in mind two things. Number one, you know, you can always boil a lot of these things down to just your household. If you see someone spending lots of money, you think, boy, they're doing very well. Look at, they have a new car, they have a new home, you know, but you can't, there's also debt sometimes there. So number one, we're creating a lot of debt, a massive, massive amounts of debt. I would argue that may never be able to be paid back. Number one. Number two, you know, we have to think about inflation. I mean, if you look at housing, for example, which has been terrific, that was part of the market downturn when the rates were starting to go up last week. There was some alarm. But, you know, lumber prices are twice as much as they were a year ago because of this housing boom. So, we have to just be conscious of these other consequences to what we're doing. So just be aware of it. On top of it, I'm not saying inflation's coming around the corner, but when you have too many dollars chasing too few goods, that's what starts to happen. So it probably could be done better, as you were saying. I think we could be a little more
strategic or vet people.
There you go. Judicious.
Yeah, 8-4 judicious. That's even better. Thank you. 847, student loan help. Hey, Tom, can we pull our 401k with no penalty? We need student loan help.
Well, again, it's kind of the same theme. I always, you know, I'll say when I talk to individuals where there's a student loan, if you're talking about the individual doing it for themselves, again, want to be cautious about using retirement savings to pay for debt. I mean, that would kind of be a last resort. And again, getting back to this financial organization, sit down, write down all your assets, write down all your liabilities, create a budget, and really hone in on, you're going to discover things you were probably totally unaware of. But I would say try to take it out of your discretionary income first, see if you can service it somehow. You know, I'm not a huge fan of using retirement savings to pay for things other than retirement.
Okay, fair enough. Looking here at the savings rate, you kind of referenced this before. There's an article I'm reading here that there's an astounding amount of savings during the pandemic, kind of the stimulus money people didn't need. A lot of people put that away and they saved it. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? They're saying that the Commerce Department this weekend reported that personal income shot up a seasonally adjusted 10%, buoyed by the latest round of pandemic relief payments, but that the savings rate is now higher than before the pandemic and the highest it's been since during World War II. And it's kind of interesting to think about this because people have money sitting on the sidelines. Is that the best thing to do? What do you say right now? I got money in my savings account that I didn't think I was going to have. What do I do?
Well, I would say, you know, if you have enough liquidity, you have enough cash, step one, that's taken care of. The reserves, the emergency funds. The next thing I would say is to invest it. This is timely, so I'll make a comment about, you know, April 15th. Unfortunately, that date is coming fast. But it also means that you have until April 15th to do a contribution for 2020. And so the best thing you do is not only contribute it to your retirement, but put it in a tax-free account. And that's a Roth IRA. So you can put up to $6,000 if you're under 50, up to $7,000 if you're over age 50. You don't have to put all of that in. If you even have to put $2,000 in, that's fine. But get some money into a Roth for 2020. You will put it in, and you will never pay tax on it the rest of your life. So, you know, that's kind of a two-bagger. You know, you're putting money in. You're buying stock, and here's an opportunity. The market's down a little bit. Buy some Apple and Microsoft, put it in your Roth, and let it grow. And all that growth is tax-free.
Yeah, good advice. I think the other driver here, too, why people are saving more is because all the things you normally paid for, you're not necessarily paying for it right now because of the entertainment budgets have gone down, or hairstyle. I mean, like the kinds of things that you normally would just do, you dry cleaning, you know, all that stuff, you're just not paying for. So there's a little extra money there. So it's good to be wise with it and put it to work. 847, Anna, we didn't need the stimulus money, but we paid off some of our debt, which allows us now to order from local restaurants, et cetera. We didn't do that before as it wasn't in our budget to eat out that often, and we're a family of five. So there you go. It's a perfect example of people spending and that consumer spending rate going up.
Yeah, a lot of responsible people. That's good. I like the stories of the paying off debt. You know,
I like it too, Tom. You're so organized and responsible financially. I bet you've never let an introductory rate on a credit card lapse. I'm sure that's never been allowed in your household. But don't tell my husband
no
I did it.
On anything, I think.
It's, ouch, it hurt. Anyway, good to hear from you. I know. I'm trying to do better, Tom, and you help us down that path. So thank you. Thank you for that.